Let's pray and look at God's word this morning. Our Father, thank you for the Bible, for your wonderful truth, how good it is to remember that what we have in our hands, translated into our language and preserved over the centuries so that we can have it today, this amazing Bible, your truth to us. And may we never lose sight of what we have been given. And we thank you that the Bible's not like any other book. It's not just a religious book. It's your truth to us. And we're so grateful for you sharing amazing things in your word. And today we're going to be looking at one of those things you've spoken about the second coming of your Son. And so we ask that you'd help us to understand and to take it in, and that our heart's response to you would be correct and right. Thank you, Lord, for our gathering today. We ask for your help now. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it was only 13 days ago when there was a big event. What was it called? Christmas. All right. And we had our Christmas Day service, and we had a lovely time of carol singing here in the auditorium, as well as, looking at that magnificent story in Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 2, the first Christmas story. Do you remember it? Yeah, it was fantastic. And Christmas Day itself, do you remember that? For most of us, that meant a pretty busy day. Going to places, having lunch somewhere and dinner somewhere, and celebrating with family and friends the festivities of Christmas and the giving out of presents to each other. Do you remember all that? Do you remember the lead up to Christmas? Oh, wow. That's another thing, isn't it? Getting ready for Christmas. And there was like so much to do. There's all those things to do, like buying presents, a good present, a right present, you know, and wrapping it up and doing Christmas cards and getting the place cleaned up and putting up the Christmas tree and all the decorations. There's a lot of work. And for Colin and I, we found that particularly the case because we'd just come back from a magnificent holiday in New Zealand and we had chosen to host Christmas at our place. So we come back and the garden's not looking too good, the retic's not working. There's a lot of things to get done in 4 weeks. So there was a lot of preparing, all in order to be ready for Christmas. And Colleen would tell you that we were ready by 10 p.m. Christmas Eve. Is that right, Colleen? Oh, man, the cleanup we had to do. Anyway, we got ready. And I want to just share that with you about being ready because that's what the title of our sermon today is. And I want to first of all look at the first coming of Jesus. In that story, when you think about the first Christmas story, God had got everything ready. He had prepared the world. He had prophesied so clearly and powerfully about Jesus coming. But when I look at that first Christmas story, I reckon the world wasn't ready. There's no room. There's no room in Bethlehem for the Saviour to be born, even though it was prophesied he'd be born in Bethlehem. And also, I think of that star. Who noticed the star? Only the wise men. And they come to Jerusalem, and they get told that they had to go to Bethlehem, and they follow the star. Who came with the wise men? All of Jerusalem should have come. Look at that picture there. People are not ready. They were not ready for the first coming of Christ. And friends, I don't know if you realize how you often have these pictures in the Bible. There is a picture of people not being ready for the first wonderful coming of Jesus into our world. And that's exactly how it will be at the second coming of Jesus. We ought to know that as we get closer and closer to that great day. We know that the world is so unprepared for his great and glorious coming. Isn't that true? And you know, I think of how we're ready for so many things. We get ready for a holiday. We get ready for Christmas. We get ready for church. We get ready for the working week. We get ready for so many things. But most of us are not ready for the most important thing of all. Two things here. Either our own death and being ready to meet God, or when Jesus returns. I hope you're ready. And this morning we're going to be looking at how we need to be ready. And we're going to be seeing and looking at those words of Jesus who told us to be ready. That was the last verse that Phil read out, Matthew 24, verse 44. For this reason, you must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think he will. And this morning we're going to look at Matthew chapter 24, Jesus' own words to his disciples and to us as we read them. We're going to see four things: the spectacular, the sorting. We're also going to see the signs and the surprise it will be when Jesus returns. So if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Matthew chapter 24, and we'll read the first two verses of that section we're going to look at this morning, verses 29 and 30. But immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. Wow, two verses that I just feel are so chock-a-block with so much. Jesus coming into our world, his second coming, is going to be absolutely spectacular. In fact, I'm trying to find words that describe it. Spectacular? I think we run out of words. It's going to be like just the most amazing event. He's going to be coming with power and great glory. So different to his first coming. When he first came, he came like in stillness. We have silent night, holy night, capturing that stillness. But when he comes that second time, he's going to be shaking. Would you see that word there? Shaking. Everything will be shaking. When he first came, only a few saw his birth. The shepherds and the wise men who came later. But when he comes this second time, every eye will see him. It's going to be extraordinary big and powerful, amazing. This is what's coming around the corner, the day of Jesus coming. And we are meant to be really ready for it. What do you think about that shaking? Sounds a bit scary being shaken, but I love the picture language. It says how the whole heavens will be shaken. So that means the galaxies, the Milky Way, our own solar system, everything will be shaking. And there's prophecies about the earth being shaken as well. Why is everything being shaken? Because of the presence of the Lord of glory. Because he is the creator of the heavens and the earth, before his presence, they're shaking in the sense of falling before him. Falling before him. From the earth, it will look like the stars are just disintegrating. Wow, this is who Jesus is. Even though he came into our world so humbly, born as a little baby in Bethlehem. But the real Jesus, when you take away that human facade, he is the King of glory. And when he comes back, everything will be shaking. Wow. I don't know how you feel about that. I watched a replay of the New Year's Eve fireworks at Sydney. And it's pretty special, pretty spectacular. But I've got to tell you, it's a no-show compared to the big event coming around the corner, the coming of Jesus. And friends, we need to be aware of this great day. We need to be ready for this great day. We need to be reminded that it is going to happen. And we're not to be caught up with a world that just pushes it away, that mocks it and even ridicules that day. That's in the Bible, actually, a prophecy about that. That's in 2 Peter chapter 3 and 4. And it says, "Know this first of all, that in the last days mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation." In other words, it's not going to happen. And it's pushed down. But Jesus is coming back. And it's going to be absolutely spectacular. And we need to be ready for it. Now, the reason why we need to be ready for it is not just to be ready to see the spectacular coming of Christ. We need to be ready because the next S word I want to look at is there's going to be a great sorting. A great sorting out of people on that day. In God's eyes, there are only two kinds of people. It doesn't matter what ethnic culture you come from. It does not matter, male or female, young or old. It doesn't matter. That doesn't even count to God. What matters to Him is whether you're in Christ or not. That's so important. There's going to be a sorting on that day. On this day, we're going to be sorted, and that's why we need to be ready. Now let's have a look at that as Jesus speaks to us about these things. When I read verse 31 of Matthew 24, it says, "And He will send forth His angels with a great trumpet, and they will gather together His elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other." Oh yeah, the angels will be coming back with Jesus too. How awesome is that? So they're all coming back, and the angels will do a harvest. They will, at that moment in time, those who are in Jesus, those who have repented of their sins and received Jesus as their Lord and Saviour, those who have accepted Jesus as their Saviour, believe that He's God's Son and committed their life to Him, they are called the elect, and they will be gathered by God's angels, and they'll be gathered to Jesus. This is a great sorting that will happen on that day. This day, for every true Christian, is the most delightful day of all. It says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17, or let me read 16 and 17, speaking of Jesus' return. "For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." Now, just a little aside here, the dead in Christ are those who love Jesus here on earth, but they died before He came. Before He came back, they're with Jesus now, and they're going to be coming back with Jesus, and they will have their bodies resurrected. But then it says in verse 17, "Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord." Come on, what do you reckon of that? That's a day to live for. If God permits us to continue to be here until the coming of Jesus, the day will come when we will be lifted up. We'll be, I love this, we'll be flying. We'll be going up. And we'll be with the Lord for how long? Forever. This happens the day Jesus returns in all His power and glory. What a sorting out. We will be lifted up. And the language of Jesus is, one will be taken and one will remain. We'll be lifted up to Jesus. I can't think of anything better than that. That day when I will see Him. I'll behold Him and be with Him forever and ever, because I'm part of that group of people who humbled himself and called on Jesus to save me, a sinner. But the sorting, Jesus also mentions the other group, the bigger group, the far bigger group. And that's in verse 30. And in verse 30, if I read it again, it says, "And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory." So obviously what's intriguing here is the word mourn. Why are people mourning? All the tribes of the earth, every person who isn't taken up, every person who never received Jesus, who never turned to Him, they will mourn. And you ought to know why they will mourn. They will mourn because in a moment of time, as Jesus returns, they will realize Jesus was real. It was true. It was true that He was the Savior, the Son of God. And I have chosen to reject Him and not receive Him. And they know deep down what's going to happen. They're going to be in trouble. They're in trouble. I'm going to read to you a pretty full-on passage. Revelation chapter 6, 12 to 17. This is a real snapshot of what will happen on that day. And it says in Revelation chapter 6, 12 to 17. "I looked when Jesus broke the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth made of hair, and the whole moon became like blood, and the stars of the sky fell to the earth as a fig tree casts its unripe figs when shaken by a great wind. And the sky was split apart like a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. That's why we know it's not just the heavens being shaken, but even the earth. And then it says, the kings of the earth and the great men and the commanders and the rich and the strong and every slave and free man hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains. And they said to the mountains and to the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the presence of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who is able to stand? I reckon they'll be mourning. They'll be terrified. Because on this day that Jesus comes, there will be a sorting. What do you think of these words that God has given us? No wonder Jesus says to us, be ready. Be ready. Be ready before you die. Because Jesus might not come for a while later. Be ready by turning to him and trusting in him. Be ready in case Jesus comes. You know, I wonder how many of us thought about this. The year 2024 dawned upon us. The 1st of January. What did you do on the 1st of January? Did you even think about this? We're one day closer to the Lord's return. Maybe this is the year when Jesus will come back. Even amongst Christians, we don't even think like this too much. But we're meant to. We're meant to be ready, making sure we are ready. This could be the year. This could be it. We need to be ready for Jesus. Because it's serious. When he comes back, it's such joy to be with him. We need to make sure we're his. But we also need to have a heart for the lost. Because it's not going to be good for them. The great sorting. And I love this. God has been so gracious to us. Let's remember this. We might get horrified about God's going to sort us out. How dare he? Well, of course it's right for him to do that. And he's given us such time and such grace, day after day after day, that people might get right with him through Jesus Christ, his Son. What an amazing God of patience and grace, even to this very day today. What an awesome God. But now I'm going to look at the signs. And Jesus speaks about the signs. That's another reason why we should be getting ready. So I'm going to read to you Matthew 24, 32 to 35. Now learn the parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So you too, when you see all these things, recognize that he is near right at the door. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. All right, talking about a fig tree. I've got a fig tree at home, a big fig tree, and it got a serious prune at winter time with a chainsaw. So that's a serious prune. And I thought I might have killed it. I took so much off it. But when we got back from our holidays, that was at the end of November. I had a quick look to see if it was dead. No! There were shoots coming from the trunk. And what also was it telling me? Summer is here. Summer is here. And Jesus uses the picture of the fig tree as something for us. There's going to be signs, not just one sign, signs that help us know that Jesus is just around the corner. Reminds me of an old African song. Around the corner, Jesus is coming. I won't sing it, but they have this lovely little song. And they live in anticipation of Jesus coming. And they're conscious. And when I went to the Philippines and COVID's occurring, they're conscious of the signs. And I feel like us in the Western world are not conscious of the signs. We just get full of life with all our affluence and chasing everything. And we're not concerned about the signs. The signs are there. Signs are being fulfilled. Signs are being fulfilled right now. And the signs are meant to be helping everyone switched on, born of the Spirit, excited that Jesus is just around the corner. And we should be living in anticipation of that. The whole tenor of the New Testament is Jesus is just around the corner. And that's how we're meant to be living as well. So we need to be aware of the signs. Were you aware that God was getting the world ready when COVID hit us? Are you aware of the situation in the Middle East, that this is all part of God preparing the world for that time that only He knows, when Jesus will come in power and great glory? The signs are there. The thing is, the challenge for us is know your Bible. Read it every day. And you'll read about all sorts of things, including the return of Jesus. Be a student of the Word. And get into looking at what God has said, and especially about the return of His Son. There are many signs recorded by, or spoken of by Jesus and His apostles that are in the Word of God. How good is that? And Jesus has done that deliberately so that we might know. Now, we won't know the actual day and time. Isn't that amazing? That's in verse 34. Truly I say to you, oh, not that one, 36. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. Now, we don't know the day or hour, but we will know the nearness of it. That's in verse 34. Oh, 33, get it right now. 33. So you too, when you see all these things, recognize that He is near, right at the door. So Christians are meant to be people like that, who are picking up on the signs, and that fires us up to be ready for the coming of Jesus. And I want to just say to you that the coming of Jesus is absolutely certain. It will happen. No one can stop it from happening. Not even if the whole world opposed Him. Not even if Satan did everything he could. Jesus is coming back. And the signs are showing that. But look at those words of Jesus. Verses 34 and 35. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away, or this race, this human race will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away. You know that? Heaven and earth will pass away. But my words will never pass away. I love that. Everything Jesus spoke is so certain and true. And that includes everything he said about His second coming. So we need to be ready. Make sure that we are picking up on the signs and that firing us up to be ready for Jesus' return. Now I want to finish on looking at the last part of what Jesus says here. And that is how He speaks about how His coming will be a surprise. Obviously a surprise to the world. So we're going to read to you now verses 37 to 41. The coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. For as in those days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until that day that Noah entered the ark. And they did not understand until the flood came and took them all away, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then there will be two men in the field, one will be taken, one will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken, one will be left. And what Jesus is saying, He's saying it's just going to be like the days of Noah. What is He saying by that? Well, in the days of Noah, Noah's building a big boat. And he's bringing all the animals, two, male and female of each one, bringing them to the boat. And they come into the boat, the door is shut, and they're in the boat. Can you imagine all the people? They're just watching, not getting ready, and then the first drops of rain start falling. And then it gets really heavy in 40 days and 40 nights and all this rain, and God's judgment comes upon the world. And every living thing that's not in the ark perishes. And Jesus is mentioning this because look at that world back then. They were not ready. They were surprised. They ought not have been surprised because Noah was a man of righteousness preaching to the people. And the ark was there to make it clear that you need to enter into the ark to be saved. But they weren't ready. And they got surprised. They're just doing everything and they're surprised when it all happens. We're not meant to be surprised. We're meant to know about these things. But then I think of verses 42 to 44 and I can't help but think Jesus is telling me, make sure you're not surprised. So now this is talking to believers. It says in 42 to 44, therefore be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. See that? What it says? Your Lord is coming. So now he's talking to us Christians. Are you ready? Are you going to be surprised? Verse 43, be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have been on the alert and would not have allowed his house to be broken into. For this reason, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think he will. That's on us. Be ready. Don't be a Christian who is so caught up in your life doing your own thing that you are going to be surprised when Jesus comes. The Holy Spirit is going to be speaking to you if you're walking with him and urging you to be ready. Make sure you're listening to him. Make sure there is no surprise. We're meant to be living in the light of his coming. There's not meant to be a surprise or a shock to anyone who calls himself a Christian. We're meant to be ready. And we're meant to be waiting. Waiting for Christ's return. I love how it's put in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. The Apostle Paul speaking to the Thessalonians. Second half of verse 9 into verse 10. Paul says, you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath to come. Notice what these Christians are doing in Thessalonica. They have turned away from their idols. They're looking to Jesus and they're waiting for something. They're waiting for his return. So when you're waiting, what do? Are you sleeping? No, I'm not talking about sleeping. Waiting means three big things. We stay focused on Jesus. We share our faith with others, the gospel. And we shine Jesus to everyone. That's waiting. When I think about the Lord's return, or whether I die and be with him, I am to be doing those things. Stay focused on him. I'm to share Jesus with others, and I'm to shine Jesus to all those about us. Does that describe you? That's how it's meant to be. Well, I want to finish now by just saying, are you ready? You might have your will ready. You might have this year all sorted out and ready to go. There are lots of things we get ready for. We had to get ready for our big holiday to New Zealand a little while ago. But are you ready for the most important thing of all? The return of Jesus? Or I die, and one day I need to face God. As I thought about this last part, I thought every one of us here is in three groups. There's three groups that I want to address. And there's a group of our words that help me understand what each of those three groups should do. There are going to be people amongst us this morning who are still not there yet. You haven't come to that place where Jesus is your Lord and Saviour. And God's word to you, in all his love and all his grace, no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, his word to you is what? Repent and receive my Son Jesus. Repent means to turn away from living for myself. Repent from my sins. And I am to receive Jesus as my Lord and my Saviour. That's God's word to us. That's God's word to this whole world. Repent and receive. But there's another group I'm now going to talk to, and they are people who say they're Christians, and say they are Christians. But they're not where they should be, because the world somehow has got into us and pulled us away from where we should be. And God's word to us, which is found in the prophets of old, is return to me. Return to me. Recommit your life to me. That's what we should be doing right now, today. Right now, for this year 2024, returning to the Lord, getting back to a proper walk with him and recommitting our life to Jesus. Is that what you need to do? And then there's another group of people. Are they walking well with the Lord? So what are words do I think for them? They ought to be rejoicing. Rejoicing with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And you sure should be revved up by the Holy Spirit, because these are exciting days that we live in. Love those R words? Rejoice and be revved up. That's how you should be. Because we know the day of our redemption draws near. And nothing ever can beat that. One day being with Jesus forever and ever. We're going to sing a song now called Cornerstone. Jesus is the cornerstone, the rock. In the third verse, the final verse, it speaks about Christ's return. And it says, when he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found. Dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. When we turn to Jesus, even though none of us are worthy to be saved, Jesus takes away our sin and clothes us with his righteousness so that we stand faultless before the holy God and are welcomed and received by him. Thank you, Jesus, for doing that for us. Let's stand and sing Cornerstone.
My hope is this.
I close in prayer the last words of our Bible, and it says these great words: behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to render to every man according to what he's done. I am the Alpha and the Omega,
the first and the last, the beginning and the end. And it goes on to say, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright and morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes to take the water of life without cost. I testify to everyone who hears these words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues which are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his part from the tree of life and from the holy city which are written in this book. And the final words of the whole Bible are these. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming quickly. Our response is, amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you all. Amen. And Father, I just thank you for those, the way the Bible closes in such a most wonderful way. Jesus, your Son, offers to us without cost salvation, the water of life. May everyone here receive of that water and be saved. May we repent and return to Jesus and be saved. And Lord, if we're not where we should be as a Christian, please would you help us to return to you and walk with you, that we would recommit our life to you. And for the rest of us, if we are right with you, Lord, may we be filled with joy. May we rejoice greatly because we are waiting for you, your Son, the great King. And we thank you for the salvation we have in him. Come, Lord Jesus, come. And in your Son's name we pray. Amen.